Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into another 48 minutes. If you do away with the commercial breaks and all that. Woods and Water, South Carolina. Glad you're with us. It's starting to get a little, it's really humid. But, you know, if you start looking down the road there, fall ain't that far off.
No, it's not.
Dove season's only a week out.
Get excited.
Deer season's only like 2 weeks out. Of course, you haven't finished your hunter education course yet.
I confess I'm still in the process. It's taken me a lot longer than I thought it was going to, but I started at the very, very wrong time. I should have started it way before school started. But
and who said that you needed to get it started earlier in the summer?
Genius.
Just so the record is clear here, you are agreeing that I told you you should have started it earlier this year.
I am. I didn't think it would take me this long. I mean, okay, when you have 10 units, maybe anywhere from 7 to 11 topics in a unit, and then like, 10 or 12 pages in each topic, it takes you a little bit.
Hence why I ask you to start it earlier in the summer.
And when you have the attention span of a goldfish like I do.
7 seconds.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the average attention span of a human.
Oh.
Goldfish have attention spans, scientists say, of 9 seconds. So a goldfish's attention span is 2 seconds longer than yours.
Never mind. I find a goldfish with a lot less.
No, it's not. It would be funny that you would pick a goldfish.
Well,
because that's a story that I actually did on here.
See, that's what came to my mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you did a story about something. Yeah. Why were you doing a story about a goldfish?
Because I was saying the attention span of the average human is less than your
average
orange
goldfish
in your fish tank over there who only knows that you're going to feed him twice a day.
That flips over on its belly when it's sleeping.
Kind of like beta fish.
No, okay, but let me tell you.
Well, we're starting a run of deer season shows here. Now, it's not all we're going to talk about. We got other stuff that's going to come up, and we've already.
Mm-hmm.
But we are. Today, we're going to talk to Brian Grossman.
We are.
I don't know how long we're going to go with Brian Grossman. Brian's great, right? Has been with QDMA for 5 years now, writes some articles for him. He wrote a great one that we're going to get to, Deer Hunting Fun by Keeping It Real, Expectations. So I don't know how we're going to, we'll just have to see. But anyway,
it's a good article.
Just to prep you guys for what's coming this show, whatever else we get to, but Brian Grossman will be here with us.
But before you jump on me about not having my hunter ed done yet.
Oh, I've already done that.
For my school.
Too late for that.
We have a thing called study hall. And for my study hall, we had to turn in a list of things we had to be working on, signed by our parents.
Okay.
My list consists of Spanish 2.
I don't want to hear your list.
No.
This is irrelevant.
No. It is very relevant. Something you would not see on an average to-do list. Hunter's ed, radio show research. Now, let me just say, when my teacher for that class went and read it, she was like, radio show? I was like, yeah. She goes, radio show? Yeah, it's a radio show. That's what I have to work on instead of school. She was like, radio show? Yes, it's a radio show. Can we move on, please? I have things to do. So I am very committed. Thank you very much.
Our fat little buddy's out here in the backyard.
Fat little buddy, as in
fat little buddy,
as in the groundhog.
We still haven't
named him.
We haven't, because we're gonna eat him come fall.
No, he's too cute.
No, we're gonna eat him.
He's too cute.
Scott Lacet, the sporting chef, posted a picture of a groundhog on top of a fence row, and they're gonna cook groundhog in Dead Meat TV.
He's too.
So I said something about having one, and I said, should I take him out? And he goes, put him in the pot.
No.
So we might have to try groundhogs this year.
No, he's family now.
No, he's not either.
He is. His residence is here.
He's mooching.
He's gotten a little too
squatting.
Comfortable.
He has. He's been right here almost at the back door today already.
He's a very curious little fellow.
He is.
He can run fast for his size.
He kind of shimmers. His It's kind of funny watching him
his
run.
His rolls.
Yeah, just kind of ripples. For those of you that don't have backyard wildlife habitat, you really need to create some.
Yeah.
You need to create some. We get this, possums, bunnies.
Raccoons.
Coons, yeah. It's amazing what you get back here. But anyway, all right. So, wasted 5.5 minutes.
That's okay.
So, going to have Brian Grossman on. We got your boat registration stuff in.
We did. Yep. DNR is really working hard.
They are working hard, but they're really backed up. So just bear with them. If you got boat titling and registration that you mailed in before they went back to in person, they will get to you.
Yep.
They got to us. We got it in the middle of this week, and I think I sent that in June the 3rd, I think is when it was delivered. So June 3rd, July 3rd, August. Yeah, almost 11 weeks or so. So just bear with them. They are in a backlog, but they are getting it done. Now we can take the old Michigan stickers off and put South Carolina numbers on.
Yes. We don't like we're from Michigan anymore.
We took the Michigan outdoor addiction stuff off back a month or so ago. So, and then she'll be all South Carolina now.
And then I'll start working on my Taylor M Outdoors stickers.
There you go. Boy, we got some great. We put Garmin units on it.
Yep.
We told everybody we had some Garmin units coming. Put those in. Man, did we see some bait fish.
Oh my
balls and streams.
If y'all, schools of
bass. You could see the bait fish.
Oh yeah.
Because the Garmin was actually reading the bait fish as
the bottom.
Yeah.
So you were seeing like where 15
feet
where
of water
been,
and all of a sudden it went to 5 feet because
feet
the bait
or 3
fish
feet or something,
were so thick at 5 feet.
That's crazy.
And then you can see the schools of bass
underneath them.
Underneath them, on top of them, and anywhere there was a school of bass, there was an indentation in the school of bait fish, like they were trying to get away from them.
Yeah. If y'all follow my outdoor account, Taylor M Outdoors, I was posting up all of my story. I was like, this is insane. Definitely
we
not
didn't catch any
like.
Of them.
No, we weren't.
We were unprepared.
We were very unprepared. Yeah. It was just not our day.
They were schooling. And it was a short trip.
It was.
And they were schooling, and we just were unprepared.
Yep.
So we'll get them. And they're hard. I mean, when you have, look, when the sonar unit is reading the bait fish at the bottom, you have a lot of competition.
Yeah, you do.
It's like fly fishing on a hatch.
Yep.
When it looks like it's snowing with sulfurs, you laying one out there, it's like one in a million that trout's going to rise and take yours. He's going to take everyone around you because there's just something a little funny about the fly that you've got out there on the water. So anyway, yeah. But Hunter Education Course, you're learning a lot.
I am, yep. And it actually mentions a checklist from DNR out there about some things you need to know before you go on your hunt. Ensure you have all hunting licenses and tags. Read through this year's regulations. Super important because it changes. Determine hunting locations and get landowners' permission if you hunt on public lands or private lands. Inspect tree stand or blind. Clean firearm or tune bow and purchase the right ammo because there is a huge risk that I have learned. If you purchase the wrong ammo, so many things can go wrong.
Yeah. And ammo is in short supply right now, too. A lot of people are buying a lot of ammo.
Good sign.
Various reasons.
Various reasons.
Not. I wouldn't say for the reasons they're buying it right now is a good thing, but anyway. So, yeah. So good. I'm glad you're learning. I mean, you had the basis. You had a lot of the safety part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So what have we done? We're getting the right tags. I already got my tags. I need to redo my license. I got to do that because it's 365 now. I keep forgetting that.
Dad.
We haven't read through the regulations yet.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we inspected tree stands. That's what I did for the past couple weeks. So
I had to clean the gun.
Yeah, I got to clean. Got my bow out and started shooting. So, okay, we're good. All right, well, y'all hang on. We're going to be back with Brian Grossman, QDMA, on expectations of deer season. Brian, listen for just a minute now. You got the voice, and you know who this is, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hang on, folks. Everybody knows who this is now. Everybody got in your head who this is? All right. We do this to everybody. We come on, Brian, and we'll get around to a formal introduction here shortly. But Taylor and I have a little contest going on. When you hear that, who is that? Is that Hootie and the Blowfish, or is that Darius Rucker?
I'm going to go with Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yes!
No! Okay, yes. Dad. All right.
The last 2 weeks have gone my way.
You're catching up to me.
Thanks for playing along, Brian. I don't know. We just started this because, well, before everything went to pot in 2020, there was a big push for Hootie or Darius Rucker to be the face of South Carolina tourism. And so we started playing a Hootie song, and then I started asking everybody, okay, is that Darius Rucker? It kind of...
It turned into a competition.
Yeah, it turned into a little competition.
Competition at that.
There you go.
So we have fun with it. Thanks for playing along. You didn't expect that, but you did well with it.
No, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You just never know when you come on the show what you're going to get. But anyway.
You don't.
No, folks, if you're not a member of Quality Deer Management Association, you need to be. If you don't keep up with them on social media, if you don't read the articles that pop up and everything, you're really missing out because there's some really good ones. Over the years, I've read numerous articles. I've had numerous authors come on this show, and one of them's come to be a once a year family, Brian. I mean, we see each other at Archery Trade Association every year.
That's right. Yeah.
I know last year I'd been there for about an hour, and usually we trip over each other four or five times. I was like, where in the wide world sports is Brian Grossman? And like 5 minutes later, there you were.
Yep. Yeah, we always have a night for finding each other.
We do. Sure. We do. And it's always fun to catch up and see you. And I love reading your stuff at QDMA.com. But yeah, Brian Grossman, you celebrate an anniversary, 5 years now.
Yeah, made it 5 years there. Yes. So that's always good.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
glad
always
kept me around.
Well, briefly tell everybody what you do over there.
Okay, well, my title's communications manager, and basically what that entails is I do most of our social media, our website content. Don't necessarily write it all, but
right.
You know, I get it all on the website there and take care of that. And I do write some stuff for the website and the magazine, and then help Lindsay put together our bi-monthly magazine. And just a little bit of everything. I play a lot of tech support these days, it seems like, with any kind of computer issues and that kind of stuff. But a little bit of everything. But the best part is I get to spend every day reading, talking, and hearing about whitetail deer. So that doesn't get much better than that.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it, Taylor?
No, it doesn't.
Thinking about that nursing career still?
Yeah, it's kind of fading a little bit.
Uh-oh.
But... Well, the nursing career will probably pay you much much better. But
but there's a quality of life
that's
issue
right
there somewhere.
Yep.
Well, look, congratulations. I don't stalk you on Facebook because we're friends, but I saw where your son got engaged. Congratulations there. It's life is always changing, isn't it?
Oh man, it seems like once you have kids, it just goes by way, way too fast.
It does
sure.
At that.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
He was in eighth grade, I think, when we moved here to Georgia, and I can't believe that we went from eighth grade, you know, 13-year-old Dakota to he's about ready to finish up college and now engaged to be married.
Well, congratulations. It's as a parent who's been through it once with on the girl's side, and you've got that coming for you too.
Oh, yeah.
Man, the relief as a parent when your child finds somebody to spend the rest of their life with is just it's immeasurable. I mean, you know it. You just went through it.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate, and the person that he found, you know, is a great young lady and comes from a great family, and so, yeah, we're very happy. It was definitely, we were praying for him for a while, so that it worked out.
Now, does your future daughter-in-law hunt? Is she an outdoors type girl?
She is not, no.
Not?
No.
Oh.
She has a sister that, you know, there's five girls,
oh,
five
wow.
sisters there. And one of them, you know, loves to hunt and
yeah.
fish. But I think the rest of them are, you know, more interested in, I guess, girly things.
Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that. She probably knows how to cook well. That's a good trade-off.
Yeah.
But I tell you, now, does Dakota, I can't remember, was he a big hunter, too, when he was coming through? Is he still is, or it's kind of tailed off a little bit with college?
It's tailed off some, but, yeah, he still likes to get out there. He's always been the type, you know, he wants to go, but he wants me to take him out there and say, all right, this is where you need to sit, and the deer to come out and him to be able to shoot it and, you know, go home and call
yeah.
it a day.
Yeah.
Not so much, you know, the running trail cameras.
Right.
And
yeah.
And doing all that stuff. That was always a little more my daughter. Was more interested in kind of the whole big picture part
that's,
of it.
But. That's kind of like what we had here.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. My daughter, the one that's married, she goes and moves trees to hens, and she goes and hunts with them a little bit. And
now she does.
It's I was wondering, because I wonder if you're going to see the same thing, you know, if she's going to migrate over and get in a little bit involved in what he likes to do. So it interesting. Keep your eye on that one. See what happens.
Yeah,
we'll touch
yeah.
base in a year or so and see what's going
okay.
on.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Well, speaking of change, and you know, we got about 5 minutes, and I know we won't take all this. National Deer Alliance and Quality Deer Management have merged, came out back a few months ago. Your take, I haven't had anybody else from QDMA or NDA on to talk about it. What's your take on the merger?
Well, personally, I'm really excited about it. And, of course, as an organization, we're really excited about it. You know, kind of really, and I wasn't involved when kind of NDA came about, the National
right.
Deer Alliance, but there's always kind of been the question of why we were separate organizations to begin with.
Okay.
And, you know, again, I wasn't in on those initial talks and decisions, but I think it was a good move. It kind of combines some strengths, because they were very focused on advocacy,
right?
You know, policy at all levels, you know, the national, state, and local levels. And QDMA, we've always done that as well, but we haven't really had, you know, a dedicated force behind that. That's a lot of what Kip Adams does, but he wears a lot of other hats as well.
Yeah.
So we were able to kind of combine those strengths and reduce some redundancy there. And also we were in a position, you know, Brian Murphy had left, you know, he had retired.
Right.
And we were in need of a leader, a CEO, and Nick Pinizzotto was mm-hmm. actually kind of on our short list as it was, but he was there with the NDA. So it just everything kind of fell into place. It made sense all the way around. And, I think it's going to be a good thing moving forward.
Yeah. And I know, Taylor, you were in Kentucky with me when the first NDA meeting, the first National Deer Alliance thing kicked off.
I was up there for the NASP National
yeah.
Tournament. I remember that.
And QDMA was having their convention there in Louisville. And
yeah.
That was super convenient.
Yeah, well, that was a good time. But a good organization. And you just kind of, yeah, you wonder, you know, going forward, now you've got you've always had the grassroots stuff for QDMA. That's where the base is, the average deer hunter. And now
right.
you've got the governmental side of it now, too. And I know there's a lot of talk about some of the money that was allocated for CWD spending has just made headlines here in the last couple of days. So maybe this is all coming at a time that it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And another thing that really has me excited about it is, you know, we are going through a name change, and I don't even know what the new name is
oh,
yet.
Really?
That's still being worked on. We're going to retain the QDMA logo because we just really like what that represents,
okay.
the buck and the doe.
Right.
But yeah, we are going to be changing names, and I'm glad of that in a sense that there's always been some, I guess, misconceptions or negative connotations around,
mm-hmm.
you know, Quality Deer Management Association.
Growing big bucks.
That's right. People, and we do. I mean, that's
sure.
part of our thing is to educate people on how to do that for the folks that want to.
Right.
But there's always been that kind of misconception that we're only for large landowners,
right.
or we're only, you know, we're about killing trophy deer, which it's yep. never been about trophy deer.
Right.
It's always been, you know, managing your deer herd for a quality herd. You know, getting some of those deer to older age groups so
sure.
you can hunt mature deer.
Sure.
But just having a well-balanced herd.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this will be a good opportunity with the name change, hopefully, to eliminate some of those misconceptions. We're an organization for all deer hunters.
Right.
You know, we're really the only organization out there fighting for wild deer.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Or wild whitetails.
Yep.
Again, you know, advocating at the national and the state and the local level for deer and deer hunters and just conservation in general. And so, yeah, hopefully more folks will kind of see that now and get on board with us, because it's kind of sad if you look at the percentage of other types of hunters that are involved in an organization, you know, and I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but I want to say like 40% of duck hunters
yeah.
belong to a duck.
That's right. right. Yep. I've seen that, and it's really telling statistical.
Yeah. It's like less than 1% of deer hunters
yep.
belong to a deer organization. And that's just a shame.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're almost done, but yeah, it's a name change. Wow. I remember back in 88 when it was started here in Greenville at the old Western Sizzling. We used to go to those first few meetings, and, This will be funny, and I'm gonna go to break after this. But Grant was doing his stuff down at Clemson, and some of his overheads were hand typed, right, were typed on typewriter, and there were uneven lines. And I kid him about it when I talked to him about it. I said, Grant, you and I are old men now. You know that. But well, look, we didn't get to the article, but that's fine. Lots of other stuff to talk to. So let's, folks, let's go to break. We're gonna keep Brian over for another segment. And we'll talk more deer hunting and expectations in the next segment. Y'all hang on. What's that look for?
So I don't like your music.
I do. That's all that matters.
My show is still coming up. I'm still working on it.
You best work on that. Like the hunter education thing.
I am working on it. It is not a good thing to start your hunter education when you are just starting your junior year of high school. It is not a good mix because you're trying to balance a bunch of things. And believe it or not, Dad.
Yes.
You should have some sympathy for me.
I have no sympathy for you. Brian, it was funny. We were talking to Brian before the show, and he's like, "Oh, Hunter Ed, I got to get my daughter involved in that." I'm glad we can be of right. help to you, Brian.
I need all the help I can get. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell everybody else, just like I told you, you know, when Taylor turned 16, she turned 16, then we got a boat, and we're out fishing one day, and I run. Taylor, you got to have a fishing license. And so it's those things you think you know and you think about that just, you know, whew, right over the head.
And it's funny because when I was little, I always wanted my hunting license and then my fishing license and to be like official, and I didn't realize how much went into it. And now I'm like, oh, I should have really enjoyed more when I had like the temporary thing.
That's right. You had the free tags.
The free tags and everything.
Well, y'all, welcome back to another segment of Woods and Water South County. I got Brian Gross from Quality Deer Management Association. Had a good time first segment, and it's a connection, Brian. I appreciate your candor and just the easygoing relationship that we have. But I really brought you on to talk about. You wrote an article, August 12th, deer hunting fun by keeping it real, and the word that popped out to me in this whole thing is expectations. You know, so many deer hunters these days get caught up and their expectations, to part of me, says their expectations really makes them an unhappy deer hunter. You know?
Yeah, I think it definitely can.
And so when I saw this article, I said, well, you know, I can read this article, I can just call Brian. So you read your own article for us. How's that? But, yeah, just take us through the article and some of the thought that went into it.
Yeah, well, as you said, it's about setting realistic expectations for your hunting season because, like you said, you can really take the fun out of hunting by going in with unrealistic expectations, and it's easy to do these days because all the hunting media out there, and I think it's getting better, but okay. For years it was all, you know, big buck after big buck, and you're watching a 30-minute show, and in 30 minutes, you know, this guy's going out there and setting up on a food plot or whatever, and here comes a 4.5, 5.5-year-old, you know, monster buck out there, and he shoots it, and it just, for somebody that maybe that doesn't have that perspective of years of experience, it can be really easy to think, oh, well, you know, that's not that tough, you know, it should be easy, and if you set your expectations based on what you're seeing on these shows and in the media, and even social media, you know, because you're not seeing guys, they're not posting about their unsuccessful hunt.
And
a lot of guys aren't posting, you know, maybe smaller deer they're shooting. But all you're seeing are these folks that are killing big deer. And, you can start to think, man, everybody's killing big deer, but me, why am I not killing these monster bucks?
And
I think it can zap the fun out of it. You have to kind of keep focused on the reason you got into hunting to start with. And, you know, you should always be having fun. If you're not, then there's no point in being out there,
right?
In my mind.
Exactly right.
Kind of getting back to the expectations. I wrote this article just to kind of make people think as they head into deer season, are my expectations for this season realistic? And is it something that's going to, you know, am I going to have fun, or am I turning this into a job or something to where if I don't hit this high mark, then the whole season was a waste.
Absolutely.
And so it's really just thinking about, you know, one of the things I think you got to keep in mind is your past experience.
Okay.
And this was one I definitely made early on, mistake early on. For one thing, it took me forever to kill my first deer with a bow. and then it took me a couple more years to kill my first buck with a bow.
Right.
And then suddenly, after killing this first buck with a bow, which was just it was like a 2.5-year-old 7-pointer or a really good yearling 7-pointer. I'm not sure, this was back in Kentucky. But, you know, suddenly after I shot that one, I was going to hold out for a Pope and Young. You know, I wasn't going to kill anything that wasn't, you know, a trophy deer after that. Well, I found out real quick. Well, not real quick. I should have found out real quick.
Yeah.
You know, a few years in, I'm like, boy, this isn't working. I'm not killing a buck at all. And it's, you know, taking the fun right out of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I eventually kind of adjusted those goals and ended up, I guess a year or two in, or a couple years after, you know, killing that first one, I was able to kill another one that was better than my first one. I was tickled to death with it.
Sure.
It wasn't no Pope and Young.
Yeah.
But I was happy, and that was really what it was all about. And I think another mistake you can make in that same area is you need that experience shooting deer and even shooting some bucks if you're, you know, fairly new to the game. If you just hold out for this trophy buck, that when that big deer does walk in, you're going to get so rattled because you don't have experience taking shots on these deer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys are just going to fall apart. And I've definitely been there as well. So I think it's good to, you know, don't set your goals so high that you're not getting to shoot some deer and getting that experience under your belt. So when the time does come, you've learned how to find these big deer. You're able to make the shot when the moment of truth comes. So.
Yeah, I mean, I still get the rapid heartbeat and all that on pretty much any deer that comes by me.
So, yeah,
you know, and I've hunted my whole I've deer hunted, you know, probably saw my first deer when I was 7 or 8. So, you know, it's and that feeling, over time, that feeling seems to get clouded over by stuff and expectations, you know? And but once you get through all of that, man, it comes back, and it's today I get, you know, man, I can feel my heart rate going up, blood rising and everything on just any deer I see from a tree stand.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
One of the factors in here that you state is where you hunt. Take just a minute, because I think that, you know, when you talk about hunting show and everybody shooting big deer and all that stuff, where you hunt really, you need to adjust your expectations to where you hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm originally from Kentucky, so known for, you know, a little bit bigger bucks
right.
in Kentucky, and now I'm in Georgia. I certainly had to adjust my expectations when I made that move. And for guys that maybe grown up in the South or areas like that, and they've grown up watching these shows that are mostly filmed in the Midwest, it can be easy to set your expectations unrealistically. Not that you can't kill a 170-inch deer in Georgia,
right?
But man, they're a lot fewer and further between than they are in Iowa or Missouri,
sure.
You know, somewhere out in the Midwest. I think that's a big part of it is keeping in mind, okay, what's a realistic expectation for where I'm at? And it can even boil down to the specific property, not just the state you live in, but even the property where you hunt, you know, may not be the best habitat quality, or it may be an area, you know, even within Georgia, there's areas where it's known for bigger deer than other areas where you have sandy soils and, you know, lower quality deer, lower quality habitat.
Yeah.
So, you have to keep that area in mind where you're hunting and base your goals realistically on that. And you can, you know, run trail cameras and plus base it on what you've seen. If you've hunted these areas for several years, you kind of got an idea of what's there. So don't set your goals so high that you're never going to be able to hit that mark, or it's going to take years and years to hit that mark. You know, just, keep it realistic, you know, just take what knowledge you can gather from trail cameras, observations, that kind of stuff, and set realistic goals as you head into the season.
And end it with what makes you happy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's what it should be all about. You may not care anything in the world about shooting a Pope and Young buck. If that first year and a half old fork horn that comes in, if that's going to make you happy and you just want to put meat in the freezer, then man, shoot it. You know, don't hesitate. We got to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks or what, you know, the people that on social media that don't care anything about you.
Yeah.
What they think about your deer. You know, it's, I know I just try to remember that feeling when I first started hunting. And man, I was just tickled to death to see a buck, and I certainly wasn't going to let one walk by me if I had a chance.
That's exactly
if I
right.
I had a chance to fling an arrow, and I didn't care whether he had 3 points on his head or 10 points on his head. You know, I was tickled to death. And, not that you can't, you know, kind of grow and those goals change as you get older, but it should never get to the point where you're not having fun out there. I mean, that's why we go.
Absolutely. Well, look, do you have a few more minutes to spend with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Well, cool, because I know Taylor's got some questions about you hunting with your daughter. So hang on, folks. We'll be back with Brian Grossman in just a few minutes. The outfield. They weren't just a one-hit wonder either.
I still hate you.
They actually had several hits. that rest easy, Brian. No musical questions there at this segment either.
That's all right.
But you like the outfield. Oh, see?
Yeah.
I'm liking Brian more and more. We need to he might be one of those family members I want to see more than once a year. all of us in the in the outdoor industry. I guess when you get trade show, I guess the trade show groupies. We're not.
So there you go.
You know, there's some of that trade show family you only want to see once a year. You know, it's like, yeah, we're still out there. Glad you're still out there. See you next year. And there's others that
harsh.
What?
Harsh.
Well, I'm sure there are people out there that think the same thing about you and me.
Not me. Certainly not me.
Certainly you.
Oh, gracious.
Here comes, they're probably saying, oh, gosh, here comes Roger and his daughter, too.
And his daughter. I don't even have a name, do
That's
I?
That's right. Not something.
Gracious me.
Brian, I appreciate you taking so much time with us and bleeding over into another segment. I always enjoy the father-daughter dynamic in hunting. And it's a lot of most times when you hear it, the parent child, it's father son. You know, I've hunted with my dad forever, and it's a father son. There are a lot of father and son activities out there, but I love the father daughter stuff. And when I get a chance, or when Teva gets a chance to talk to some people who have the same interactions that she and I do, she likes to ask you questions. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Taylor.
Yeah.
I've had it.
So I was really, really excited to hear that you had a daughter about my age that is now in for the same thing I'm still in for, is finishing my hunter ed course.
Yeah.
I will be praying for her.
She doesn't know it yet.
No, she doesn't. She's going
to
have a
room.
So I was really excited to hear about that because, you know, like Dad said, we love hearing about the father-daughter dynamic for hunting because, again, you know, hunting, like fishing, is more male-dominated, and so it's kind of cool to hear about women in the outdoors. So just this past year, I actually got my own stand, and it was quite an experience, I feel like, for both of us, because I've been hunting with you since I was
four or five.
In the two-man stand for as long as I can remember, or off the back deck at the farm.
Right.
And so it was a change for both of us. I feel like that first hunt was kind of rough. But I was going to ask, does she have her own stand, or are y'all still hunting together?
We're still hunting together at this point. Yeah, she hadn't graduated to hunting out of her own stand yet. But who knows? This could be the year for that. But
yeah,
I'm still trying to. See, she may be ready for her own stand, but I'm still enjoying that time to be able to have her there with me when we hunt.
Yeah, I'm surprised you are all on that whole idea.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, Brian, but my mom took me deer hunting one time. She, you know, and a deer stand back then was a couple of 2x6s nailed to the crotch of an oak tree, and I sat out there.
Yeah.
And when she took me, she climbed a tree behind me and sat on a branch. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I grew up hunting by myself.
Yep.
And so hunting with Taylor and hunting my girls was great. But in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, at 15, I'd been hunting by myself for, I don't know, 5-6 years now. So it was just that time. I don't know. You're still not there, are you?
No, I'm not. But like I said, it's probably getting pretty close. Yeah. I still remember now of course, my son being older, he's
right.
20 now.
Yeah,
I still remember too the first time I took him and set him in his own stand and went over. You know, I went maybe a couple hundred yards away, got to my own stand, and he actually killed a pretty decent buck his first solo sit.
Cool.
And so he deemed me I was the bad luck, the bad owner. We hadn't had near as much success together as we did the first time we parted ways there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure the time is coming here soon where my daughter will be sitting in her own stand, and I'll have to be sitting over there wondering how it's going.
Well, there is such a thing as texting.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things. When I left my own stand, I was like, man, all those traditions we had when we were hunting together, like you'd look one way, I'd look the other, they're over. But I was like, no, they're not, because he started sending me this text, and I don't know if you've seen the movie The Patriot, but one of the quotes in there is aim small, miss small. And he started texting that to me every hunt. And so I'm like, okay, well, new traditions are starting.
And what's the other text that I sent you most of the time?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on, Taylor.
Don't miss.
No. You do that on your own.
Excuse me.
You do that on your own. No, the text about every day, Every hunt is a treasure. It's different. Enjoy it in the moment because it'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I have learned that over time. But so aside from different stands, now that I do have my own stand, we still do a lot together during the off season. We, you know, work on stand position. We plant together. We plan together. We had the trees. We had trees taken down and thinned this year. And we are still included in all that. Do you and your daughter do that? I don't know where y'all hunt. I don't know what process y'all have, but do y'all work on that together?
Yeah, we mainly hunt public land. Now, we do have we've had a couple people gracious enough to let me take her. You know, it's a lot easier when you have kids to get that permission to bring them out.
them
out and hunt as opposed to asking for yourself. So we do have a couple places now that I can take her on the private land, but not as much opportunity, I guess, you know, to go out and hang stands and stuff. But she's still and this has definitely trickled off some as she's gotten more into her teens and you know, found other interests besides hanging out with Dad to deer hunt.
But,
she'll still get out there with me some and go shed hunting, or, you know, she might go with me to check the trail cameras, that kind of stuff, you know, which I'm very gracious for that she still wants to hang out with Dad every once in a while for that part of it, aside from just the hunting. So not as much interest as she did have there for a while, you know, like I said, once she got more into her teens.
Sure.
But she still gets out there with me, and I'm glad for every opportunity I do have. And you know, hopefully as she gets a little older, that'll come back, you know, a little more.
It will.
Hanging out and getting to do that kind of stuff.
But it will, because
a lot of stuff with school and everything now, which I know, obviously, Taylor, you're well aware of what all goes into being a teenager in school and all that goes with it and working. She just got her first job, so she's staying busy.
Well, it trust me, you plant the seed, and it's while you're in control of where they go and what they do, it's easy. You're right; it does get a little different when they get involved socially in school and stuff like that. But it'll always be there. Trust me. It'll always be there. And you'll always have those times, the memories. And then when you get together and do it again, because with Jordan, when she turned 16, she started more into the coffee and books and fires and stuff like that. But she goes away to school. She goes away to college. She comes home at Thanksgiving. She goes, Daddy, can we go deer hunt together? So
there you go.
That was shocking for all of us.
That's where it is. And you're doing it. You got it down, Brian. No problem at all. Well, and we always cheat up another one. great stuff. Thanks for being here. Look, are you still doing your podcast?
I am. Yeah, we kind of took a little break there when the deer season rolled in last year. I guess kind of at the end of deer season last year. Took a little break between deer and turkey season.
Right.
But I brought on a co-host with me, Robert Nelson, and we kicked things back off 1st of July. And we've been putting them out weekly since, and that's kind of the plan, is to continue, you know, dropping them every Wednesday.
Okay.
We've been enjoying it.
And if somebody wants to follow along, where do they find you? And what's the name of the podcast?
It's the Georgia Field Hunting Podcast.
Okay.
And they can just go to georgiafield.com.
All right.
And find it there, and or on any of the popular, you know, podcasting platforms.
Sure. Now, you do a lot of your public land hunting in Georgia and all. Does your podcast kind of follow the public land thing, or is it kind of all-inclusive?
It's all-inclusive to some extent. Now, we do, you know, a lot of it is on public land because we're both public land hunters, and that, you know, that seems to be a big draw now. But we do a little bit of everything. We've had, you know, guys on there talking about, you know, tuning your bow, or we've had a guy on there about buying a hunting property. We've had a biologist on there talking about, you know, managing your property and planting food plots and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of all across the board. It does kind of course, focus on Georgia or southern, at least the southern type of hunting and habitat. But we kind of tailor it to everybody.
Well, cool. Well, look, folks, if you're not a member of QDMA, get ready. As Brian's told us, there's some changes coming to the name. But if you're a deer hunter, it doesn't hurt you to get involved with an organization. It can only help you.
That's right.
And the more our numbers are accounted for, now that we're going to have the governmental side of things, that's where the pull comes from. You know, you got the numbers to back it up, and you've got an arm to insert yourself into national politics and stuff like that. That's where the power really is. And I'd encourage you to join. Go follow him on Facebook. Read one of Brian's articles from time to time. Brian, every year I go back and do the five ways to ruin a good hunting picture. that's just a staple in the show. And I really appreciate what you do down there. And we'll catch up sooner or later, won't we?
We will.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, hopefully we'll get through all this corona mess.
Oh, gosh.
Get back to a meeting somewhere.
That's exactly right. Well, look, I really appreciate you taking time to be on the show today. We've chewed up three segments, and I don't think a minute of it has been wasted time.
No, definitely not.
And look forward to when we have you back on the show again soon.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Roger.
All right. Thank you. Take care of yourself, Brian. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks.
Yep. Well, folks, there you go. We, whole show. And a good one, too.
It was.
If you're a deer hunter, you need to get involved and stay with us, because we're going to be covering a lot of deer hunting on the show the rest of this year.
Super excited about the season.
That's right. Well, look, as we always end the show, y'all make time to get out there.
Don't forget. Da-da-da-da.
Come on, Taylor, hurry up.
Hey, you keep throwing it at me. You do it.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget the camera.
Don't forget the camera. Y'all get here. More Woods and Water South next Saturday. From behind, 'cause I'm broadcast.